The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm sitting here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And for the next hour, welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And for the next hour, lots of information to support your good health. And as usual, we want to start off with a little bit of news, health news. So good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. Before we go to that, we have to remind our listeners who our sponsor is. Because I think there was a commercial before we came on, right?
Yes.
But it's really important because we couldn't do the show if it wasn't for Advanced Medical Testing Centers. And the reason we like this sponsor is because they will do, or let's put it this way, they will send any test you want, they'll find the lab that gets it done for you. Unlike the other drawing centers that represent one lab in particular, Advanced Medical Testing Centers will send the specimen to any lab. So any test you want done, they can get done for you. And the best part is, if your insurance covers that test, then they'll make sure that your insurance will cover it. And one of these days, we have to have someone on who's an insurance expert, because the insurance has become more and more complicated between in-network, out-of-network, high deductibles, co-payments, and people are very confused. You know, they buy insurance, they say, oh, yeah, everything is covered, until they try to get something covered, and then they find out, oh, like they got to pay money too, but they told me it was covered.
Well, one of the things that I think surprises a lot of individuals when they go to seek medical attention is they have a deductible that they must meet. So every year, if you're attempting to keep the cost of your health insurance low, generally, well, you opt for a very, very high deductible. So maybe $5,000 of medical expenses. And that's where your own medical, before your health insurance kicks in, all insurance fund kicks in. So to be putting aside a certain amount of money in case you need to meet a medical expense.
So Advanced Medical Testing Centers will, whenever appropriate, let your insurance cover the lab bill. In other words, here's what happens. You go there, they draw the blood. They send it to the appropriate lab with your insurance information, and then the lab bills your insurance company. And Advanced Medical Testing Centers is out of that picture. Now, if you don't have insurance, then they will give you the best possible price for any test you want. So it's good both ways. They have a phone number because it's important. In order to not have people waiting, we want to do everything by appointment. So the number to call is 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332. So if you need lab work done, call, and they'll get you in and out fast. And they're on the ground floor, plenty of parking in the morning. Get in there really in and out really fast. And they're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209. But when you call that number, they'll give you the directions. And another important number, and this number I hope you use, because this is our way of communicating with you. We set up a special number. A lot of people don't want to communicate with the internet, and I'm one of those. I just don't like typing those texting and things like that. But here's a way for you to just call this number. Tell us what you're thinking. Ask a question. You don't have to talk to a live person. The message is brief, and just say what you think. And that number is 954-338-7313. 954-338-7313. That's the Natural Doc Radio hotline, and you can call that number anytime. Now. I had I have lots of patients. I had a patient who just... Let's see how this all started. We did an electrocardiogram. And again, here's the importance of doing electrocardiograms on a regular basis, just like lab tests. You have something to compare with. And it was a very subtle change on the EKG. And I said, you know, I don't know if this is significant or not. Let's do some additional testing. So he had a stress test with a perfusion scan, which is important because the stress test is making your heart work harder, and the perfusion scan determines whether the heart muscle is getting enough blood to support itself. None of these tests will tell the surgeon where to operate. However, they might tell the surgeon that you might benefit from surgery. In other words, if the heart isn't getting enough blood with exertion, that's what these tests are designed for. And then he had a CT angiogram, which is a test that I would recommend to people, not routinely, of course, but in the appropriate setting. It gives you the similar results of a cardiac catheterization, but it's done with an injection in your forearm, just like they draw for blood. And they can visualize the coronary arteries and get an idea where the blockages are. And here's the dilemma with this patient. So they did this test, and they see blockages. Yet the perfusion scan, it isn't as bad as what the CT angiogram shows. In other words, he's got significant blockages, but he's perfusing his heart. How can that be? Well, the answer is he's developed his own collateral circulation. Now, I wanted to go through some points here, because these are really... an eye-opener, and these were written by Dr. Julian Whitaker. I'm sure many of you have heard of him, and a major proponent of chelation therapy. But this is not about chelation therapy specifically. This was a preface he wrote to a book that was written by another doctor called Questions from the Heart. And this book was written a while ago, so the numbers are a little old, but aside from that, nothing has really changed. And it starts off saying that in the United States in 1991, $10 billion was spent on bypass surgery for heart disease. And according to the best medical literature available, that approach is no better than a handful of heart pills taken every day. And this book, by the way, was sort of written about that, helping people decide should they have the surgery or not. There are appropriate times to have it. There are times when you shouldn't have it. But there's a big gray area where you can go either way. And who's better to make, who should make that decision, the patient or the doctor? You know where the doctor's going. He wants to do the procedure because that's what he's trained to do. That's how he thinks you cure everything is, you know, intervene with my type of surgery. On the other hand, the patient's bias is usually to do less. But the answer shouldn't be based on who benefits the most, although the only one to really benefit should be the patient. Got to do what's best for the patient. And therefore, he came up with these 10 points that you need to think about and do your research. And here's what the next point he made was. He says, chelation therapy, an outpatient office procedure, which can restore normal vascular and cellular function with extreme safety and effectiveness, has been largely suppressed by those who make medical policy decisions and control the economic purse strings of medical insurance companies. And, you know, you may see that, you may not see that, but if you're in the field, you see it. I know, Janet, your eyebrows are up in the air now.
Well, this is very, very interesting, not surprising information that some physicians are going to be making personal financial decisions in their treatment plans for patients.
Well, I see that. I mean, even people have accused me of doing that because, let's see what they say, because I recommend vitamins and I sell the vitamins here.
Well, here's my opinion on that. You're not going to take into your office any supplement that you have found to be of lesser quality. You're looking for the right form of the nutrient. You're looking for the right dose of the nutrient. And then you have the capacity to evaluate over a specific period of time, is that nutrient doing the job for the patient?
Well, that is true, and that's also true about the compounded bioidentical hormones. I see the results of all these products on hundreds of patients, and the ones that don't work, you know, I don't use anymore. If you go into a health food store, and I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Well, that's good, because that's where people can find me.
Right, but, you know, so my answer to that question there is, well, try it, you know, because those brands I'm not familiar with. Although Janet is familiar with a lot of different brands, but I usually say, you know, try it for 3 months. You have to give something at least 3 months to evaluate it.
So many times people ask me, well, how long is it going to take before I see the results? And in some cases, their nutrient deficiency can be so dramatically low that they'll see results in a very, very short time. But that accumulating benefit does take 3 months to make an informed evaluation.
Right. Usually if you're going to see benefit, you'll see it within the 3 month period of time. But the benefit doesn't stop there. It's usually ongoing for at least a year, and then you sort of plateau off and you maintain yourself at a much higher level. Now, here are the 10 points. The first one is, well, he says he's documented 10 points that most bypass surgery is a total waste of money.
Wow.
And the evidence for these points comes from the most prestigious medical journals in the world. And I'm going to post this on the website.
Good idea.
With all the references where Dr. Whitaker, you know, makes these statements from. This is not personal opinions. This is from published articles.
The other part of it is Dr. Whitaker is in a specifically good spot to make evaluations and statements like this. He is a retired cardiologist.
He's retired?
Well, he is retired from as
surgery,
a cardiology, and certainly from surgery. Yes. And Dr. Slave and I hear that music. So it means we have to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slave, and we'll be right back. So stay tuned. More to come. Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process.
Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we are brought to you by AMT Centers. AMT Centers, where you can get personalized approach overall testing that you most likely would never get anywhere else, and get very, very much forward-thinking information about evaluating your health. Dr. Slavin?
Well, we have to give out the phone numbers because
good
we
idea.
Want, you know, no, we don't. We're discouraging walk-ins, although we'll take them, because we want people to have a minimal waiting time. The number to make an appointment is 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332. Now, if you forget that and you have a computer, go to amtcenters.com, and all that information will be on their website.
And stay tuned with Natural Doc Radio, because we'll be bringing you information about upcoming seminars that will give you insight into these testing.
And if you don't remember that website, amtcenters.com, try to remember naturaldocradio.com, because we have the information there as well. And we're archiving all these radio shows. So if by chance we say something you find interesting and you want to listen to it again or tell your friends about it, naturaldocradio.com. If you're listening live, besides on a radio, you can go to iHeartRadio if you're out of the area or you're traveling. And there are a few other ones that'll carry the station.
WNNradio.com also you can go to and listen live.
And last but not least, we have a hotline number. You can express yourself without having to talk to a live person. And we want to know what you're thinking or if you have questions. And that number is 954-338-7313. 954-338-7313. Now, we were going over some points that Dr. Julian Whitaker made about the current approach to treating heart disease. And the first point he makes is the best that can be said about bypass surgery and balloon angioplasty is that they are irrelevant to the natural course of the disease, with few exceptions. So in other words, he's not saying never do it. He said, but most of the time, it's not going to save your life like you're led to believe. Patients treated medically with drugs live just as long and just as well. The worst that can be said for this approach is that the procedures are a terrible hoax, increasing disability, suffering, and death among hundreds of thousands of trusting heart patients. And let me put that into perspective. There was a lecture by Dr. Thomas Graybois, and a noted cardiologist. And he was lecturing to a bunch of cardiothoracic surgeons, actually. And he was talking about, you know, what tests should be done, how do you choose a patient for bypass surgery, and what to expect. And he said in the best of circumstances, you can expect approximately a 5% mortality rate from bypass surgery. Now, that wouldn't seem so high.
In 5%. The best of circumstances.
A 5%. And then, one of the cardiothoracic surgeons raised his hand and said, well, my percentage is closer to 1%. And Dr. Graybois' answer to that was, sure, if you're operating on people that don't need it, you can have much better outcomes.
Whoa.
Now,
knock me down.
But I want to put that into a greater perspective here. If you're doing 300,000, and that's a low number. If you're doing 300,000 bypass operations a year and 5% are dying, that's 15,000 people a year dying from bypass surgery. And I'm sure that's a low number.
Wow, so that would be a hospital statistic, not an individual cardiologist doing that number of bypass surgeries.
Now, if you look at it, oh, this is a very good way to how you can play around with statistics. Let's see.
Fun with numbers on Natural Doc Radio. Okay.
You know, so, you know, 15,000 out of 300,000, you know, 5%, you know, I don't know. 5% doesn't sound like a lot. 15,000 deaths sounds like a lot. So, I mean, if you compare that to the number of people dying in various wars, that's more than we lose in our wars in the Middle East or a war in Vietnam. You know, 15,000, a lot of deaths.
15,000 is a lot of deaths, and that's 5%. And what you prefaced those statements with, Dr. Slavin, was in the best of circumstances. Mm-hmm. Now, consider that some hospitals might not necessarily have the best of circumstances. So for people who are in a situation where they might actually be considering some sort of cardiac surgery, check out the statistics of the hospital and the surgeon that you're considering. Very important.
Well, yeah, and it's funny. I wouldn't have thought of it in those terms. Well, to me, the best of circumstances means a basically healthy individual that just happens to have a blockage that you're going to go in and operate on. But you make a point. You know, you want to go to a hospital and use a surgeon that does a lot of these, so he's got the most experience and, you know, the best technique to get a successful outcome.
The other information is, let's talk about the people who have significant changes in personality, brain function, memory and mood. That's very, very important, because if the technology of the particular cardiac surgery that you're having isn't of the highest quality and the most precise detail, your brain as well as your heart is in danger. The other part of it is recovery. So many people go into bypass or stent surgical procedure, and they have this idea that their heart situation is going to be a thing of the past when they come out of that hospital. And unfortunately, many people are not necessarily recovering at the rate that they expected. And that's where nutrition and supplementation comes in.
And the point Janet was making about mental status changes has to do with the risk of going on the heart-lung bypass machine, because in many instances they stop the heart from beating, so the machine takes its place. And if you're not oxygenating the patient and getting the blood flow maintained to the brain and other vital organs, you can run into trouble. The second point Dr. Whitaker makes, cardiac catheterization is an inaccurate method to determine what is going on with the disease. There is great and unpredictable variability in interpretation of the same x-rays from one radiologist to the next, and even with the same radiologist if the same films are shown to him at different times. And that's true. I've seen that not just with cardiac catheterizations. I've seen that with CAT scans. I mean, I could tell you a story, and I will.
Okay, good.
When I was working emergency room, and late in the evening, they bring in this person who had a scalp laceration. We don't know how he got it, but, you know, someone hit him, you know, cut his scalp. I sewed it up, and he was perfectly alert and responsive. But I said, you know what? Before I send him home, I'm going to do an x-ray of the skull just to show that he, you know, when he left the hospital, you know, there was no damage to his skull. And we did that and sent him out. The next morning I get a call that say they brought him back unconscious. And when they looked at the x-rays that I had taken the night before, the radiologist said, there's a skull fracture there. And then they did a CAT scan when he came in unconscious, and they said there was a skull fracture there. On the CAT scan, it was very easy to see. So then I, when I came in, I pulled the CAT scan and the x-rays of the skull, and I showed him, so I knew there was a skull fracture. The idea was, did he get it the first time before he came into the ER, or did he get it after he was left, you know, went home from the ER and came back? Did he get hit again and get a skull fracture? So I asked the radiologist on the plane films that were done the night before, where's the skull fracture? There were three radiologists sitting in the room, and they each pointed to a different spot on the x-ray. Very difficult to tell, by the way, unless it's very severe with a skull x-ray. So then I had him pull up the CAT scan where it's very visible. I said, okay, on the CAT scan, here's the skull fracture. Where is it on the regular films? And they still couldn't agree. So the point is, even radiologists looking at the same films may not agree. And that's the point Dr. Whitaker is making, that looking at the cardiac catheterization, there's a lot of subjectivity to it. Who's reading it, how they want to interpret it. And I have to tell you, by and large, radiologists will always err on the side of overdiagnosing. For example, a woman has something suspicious on a mammogram. Oh, have a biopsy. I'm not going to say it's nothing. Do the biopsy. This way the onus is off them. You know, it's this way they you don't have to accept any risk of missing a diagnosis. And that's basically the way it goes across the board. So you have to understand the way medical thinking goes on. Now, here's another point. The angiogram is so inaccurate that it is not even a reliable estimate of blood flow restriction. That is, a 90% blockage has been shown to have more brisk blood flow than a blockage read as 40%. So, you know, you can't tell. So you shouldn't. That's why making a decision to have bypass surgery based on an angiogram or a cardiac catheterization, just the angiogram, is not enough. Not enough proof there. That perfusion scan is the one that gives you a better answer. Is the heart getting enough blood? Because after all, that's what you're trying to achieve with bypass surgery. If the heart is getting enough blood, even though you have blockages, you don't go for surgery.
What about what you just said about the rate or the force of the blood moving through a 90% blockage? Mm-hmm. Might that speed, might that intensity create a little bit more inflammation?
It might, and sometimes I also talk about after you open up a blockage and the blood flow goes through, there's injury that's associated with that. Now, there are issues to be considered. Another one, we alluded to this earlier, the cardiopulmonary pump used during bypass surgery may cause decreased oxygen to the brain while in the operating room, and thus often leads to brain damage, memory loss, and personality changes postoperatively. I'm sure you've heard stories like this.
I've heard so many stories like this, many times from wives regarding their husband's recovery. And it is a serious, significant issue to be considered. And that music playing means it's time for us to take a break on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned for these messages. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're reviewing 10 important points put together by Dr. Julian Whitaker, retired cardiac cardiac surgeon, and he is very much at the forefront of educating his patients and teaching them how to improve the nutrition status and recover from a wide range of illnesses as well as heart issues.
Well, here's another point he makes in the preface to the book, Questions from the Heart. Dr. Julian Whitaker says the number of vessels blocked should be irrelevant to the need for bypass surgery. The main factor of significance is how well the left ventricular pump is working. Bypass appears helpful only in a narrow window of an ejection fraction of only 30 to 40%. Okay, so that means if you have an ejection fraction of 50% or more, or even 40% or more, there really isn't much benefit to be derived from that. 150 people who refused bypass surgery, according to one study, did far better than would have been expected had the surgery been done. So we're seeing, like was mentioned earlier, medical approach is often as good as the surgical approach. Now, I can give you an instance, though, where surgery might be a preferred option if you can tolerate some of the medication that you have that doctors would prescribe, because it either slows up your heart too much or it lowers your blood pressure too much, then now the question of doing the surgery comes into play. However, I tell you another story. I had a patient years ago. We put her into the hospital. She came to the office and she was complaining of left shoulder pain. So I did an EKG, and sure enough, she was having a heart attack. So I rushed to the hospital, put her into the intensive care unit, called in a cardiologist. And he said that, probably she needed, I think she had a stent put in. And so let's see what happened here. So this was a Friday, I believe it. And I was going out of town that weekend. And when I got back on Monday, she was dead.
Whoa.
And the story I had heard was the stent was put in, and it was either on Saturday or Sunday. While she was talking to her husband on the phone, husband heard the phone dropped. He didn't know what happened, and she had a cardiac arrest. And we can only speculate what happened, but the point is, even these so-called minor procedures, putting in a stent is supposed to be minor compared to bypass surgery, there are inherent risks. It could have been blocked, it could have an acute blockage in there. Who knows? The point is, you really, when contemplating these procedures, you have to weigh it against dying. So is the risk of the procedure less than, is it worth dying for, or would you be alive if you didn't have the procedure? Now, in her case, the reason she went for the stent, she couldn't tolerate the medication to control her chest pain and everything. So that was why it was thought, we'll do the stent, open up the blood flow, and avoid needing medication. But I have to tell you, I, in my training as a specialist in internal medicine, it sort of bridged the period of time before we did these invasive procedures, before stents and bypasses were done. It was just bypasses were just beginning to be done, because I worked in a community hospital, and we had to treat people the old-fashioned way. We supported them. And I'm not saying this is not, we don't do a better job today than we did before. I just think we maybe do too good of a job in putting too many people through, the procedures. I'll give you a perfect example. If I recall the numbers exactly, when, stents were introduced, that year, obviously none were done just before they introduced them. But I think there were either 300 or 600,000 bypass surgeries being done yearly. And then they introduced stents, and the promise was that we're going to put stents in people, and that's going to lower the need for those expensive bypass surgery operations. So today we're doing just as many bypass operations, but probably a million stents a year. So it really doesn't seem to have reduced the need for bypass surgery. It just put one more operation on the assembly line for doctors to perform.
Which brings me to the point that statin class drugs and this whole concept of lowering cholesterol has been in play for 20 to 25 years, yet the incidence of cardiovascular disease has not decreased. So in my opinion, though cholesterol may play a role, it is not the specific end point with regard to developing a heart and circulatory disease. It's interesting to me that what is available at AMT centers is a very much in-depth evaluation of your cholesterol, not merely HDL, LDL, total cholesterol, triglycerides, and ratio, but a significant evaluation of exactly how your HDL and LDL are functioning, what they look like, how, you know, this very important evaluation gives you much more information than you're going to get from just that shorter cholesterol rate, view.
That's the point. When you see that bypass or stents aren't the panacea and a safety and a very safe procedure that you think they are, because it doesn't get any publicity. They never talk about 15,000 people dying a year from bypass surgery complications. So people really don't realize the danger they're putting themselves into. Now, if you need it, you need it. But we're talking about trying to lower that need. So that, and knowing that you're at risk, there are a lot of things you can do to reduce the need for requiring bypass surgery. Here's another one. The graft, which is the, when they do the bypass, that's the bypass. The rate of plaque formation in the upstream segment of the grafted artery is 10 times the rate confirmed in an intact coronary artery. The upstream closure starves the heart upstream. In other words, when you do a bypass, they block up a lot faster than normal blood vessels.
And with the stents as well. People think, okay, I've got clear flow because of that significant artificial substance or tool in my blood vessel. But the truth is there's blockages accumulating there as well.
And another point, after a bypass operation, the incidence of a subsequent heart attack or myocardial infarction occurring is higher than with those treated medically. This is especially true of silent MIs, which may be just as dangerous but do not present significant chest pain. So you've heard that term about a silent MI. That's when a patient comes to the doctor and they do a routine EKG, and you see the patient's had a heart attack and he never remembers having any chest pain. You see that more often in diabetics, but it may be an occurrence here because since you've had surgery, they've cut open the chest, and perhaps maybe nerves were cut and it blocks the normal flow of nerve information, that you wouldn't feel pain.
In women, though, the symptoms of a heart attack or heart disease developing or extreme stress to your heart are very, very different. I happened to watch Rosie O'Donnell, who had a very significant heart attack, and she was talking about some symptoms that women experience. And you kind of mentioned with a woman who came to you with shoulder pain, and you could see that she was having a heart attack. Typically, you wouldn't necessarily associate shoulder pain with an ongoing heart attack. We're always told to think about pain in our jaw or pain down our left arms. But listening to Rosie O'Donnell detail her symptoms, it was being extremely hot, hotter than she had ever been. Exhausted. She said it was like moving through maple syrup, the stress on any movement. Then she was extremely pale. She had pain, but she didn't have pain down her arm or in her jaw. She had it in other parts of her body, her back. And then, she was throwing up. So very different than men tend to experience.
The other symptoms associated with heart attacks are vomiting, diaphoresis, meaning sweating. So the take home here is, if in doubt, check it out. You know, don't err on the side of not going to the emergency room. The best thing is you go to the emergency room and they send you home.
That's
as opposed
nice,
to,
yes,
you know, not going to the emergency room when you needed it. Another point, up to 90% of bypass procedures are done when the ejection fraction is greater than 50%, which is
wow,
adequate for the heart to do its job and indicates an excellent prognosis without surgery. Now, we have to make a distinction here. Exactly what does bypass or stent placement do for the patient? It improves the blood flow to the heart. Nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't reduce your risk of heart attacks because the lesions in your blood, in coronary arteries that cause heart attacks are called immature plaque or
vulnerable
plaque, and they rupture and you get that acute blockage, and those, and that plaque is not being addressed with a stent or bypass. That's why the procedures don't reduce your risk of heart attacks, just improve the blood flow to the heart. But if your ejection fraction is over 50%, you're not in the category really to benefit from bypass surgery.
And very important for people to know, coenzyme Q10 is very significant as a supplement to support ejection fraction.
And magnesium is important,
right,
fish oil, vitamin E. I mean, and they add up, you know, the number of pills you take. But if you understand the reason you're taking, then the number shouldn't really be a consideration. You want to improve the function of your body. You know, it's funny. Now, I don't think anybody, like Al said last week, is taking 150 prescription pills a day. But there are people taking a lot of prescription pills a day, and nobody even comments on that.
I routinely see people who are taking 10 and sometimes 15 different prescriptions, and the ability to get around is significantly impaired, very problematic, because they don't feel well.
Now, this next point is the reason that I looked into over 20 years ago into chelation therapy and bought the book, which may be still available, Bypassing Bypass by Dr. Elmer Cranton. And that is that, let me just briefly say, I was at a hospital meeting, the utilization review board, and they were looking at deaths in the hospital, and I had two charts of one woman in her 80, the other in her 90, and they had bypass surgery, and they died while in the hospital. So in patients over 80 years of age, 25 to 33% of them will die within 1 year of bypass surgery. This is an incredibly high mortality rate that is far greater than with medical therapy. So if you're in that age group, you want to make sure that you meet all the criteria for needing bypass surgery, because you are subjecting yourself to a potentially fatal procedure. Not saying, again, don't have it, but make sure you meet the criteria, you're an appropriate candidate. And I hope that, in fact, I know surgeons that will say to a patient, you know, you might need it, but, you know, it's too risky in the health you're in. Let's just skip the surgery. And you'd like to hear that from a doctor. And there are other doctors that, as long as you're breathing, they'll take you into the OR. You know, because in their mind, they're saying, well, if we don't do the surgery, you're going to die. So we'll do the surgery, you know, we'll take our chances.
Well, years ago, Dr. Slavin, you had ECP so that people were able to have a treatment that actually enhanced their natural ability to create blood vessels around a blockage in a coronary artery. I want to know, are you finished with your list? Did we go down all
of the
points?
We did 10, and we have some summary points to make when we come back.
Okay. After the summary points, I'm going to ask you to give our listeners a little bit of a profile of a specific test that AMT Centers offers that will give them great insight into the state of their health. Stay tuned. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. More to come.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on improving your health? You want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with me, Janet Cimarelli, at janetcimarelli.com. I'm a licensed nutrition counselor, and I specialize in the field of natural foods and supplements. I offer consultations with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. I'll educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. I will include information on overcoming allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with me, and I'll...
In chelation therapy, and join the American College for Advancement of Medicine, well over 500,000 people have been chelated now. And this is a statistic from, you know, over 10 years ago, so it's probably over a million with EDTA. And using the modern protocol that was adopted probably closer to 30 years ago, there have been no deaths reported that were directly attributable to this protocol, number one. So chelation is safe. And the second thing is there are many studies, both published and unpublished, and they've established the efficacy rate of about 85% in patients treated with chelation. In other words, they improve. Since circulation improves all over the body with chelation, in other words, we're treating the whole body, not just a few inches of blood vessels.
That's what I think is just astonishing, the opportunity to clear out debris throughout your entire body.
So because of that, there are many beneficial side effects and only a few adverse ones. I'll give you another example of a side effect. I had a patient coming in for chelation, and most of the time you're coming in to improve circulation. Maybe in your heart, it may be in your legs, it may be in your neck, the carotid arteries. Chelation therapy helps those areas. And her daughters had told her that they had just been told they have osteoporosis. Now, the patient was probably in her 70s at the time, and the daughters were probably in their 50s. So we did a bone density on them, and her bones were terrific because chelation therapy will improve bone density naturally. And how does that happen? With chelation, you get a temporary decrease in calcium in the blood flow, in the bloodstream. Well, that triggers the body to put out more parathyroid hormone, which then mobilizes calcium throughout the body and deposits it back into the bones. So one of the side effects of chelation therapy is increased bone density naturally.
Very important. And removing the lead throughout your body, including potential neurological issues because of lead.
Well, we mentioned that yesterday, this big, it's getting, maybe people are beginning to see it on the news. This mine spill, there was some water dammed up in the mine, and the EPA and their wisdom, by mistake, broke the dam and over, how many millions of gallons of this polluted water, polluted with heavy metals like lead, arsenic, cadmium, and mercury, into the pristine waters of the West, Colorado, Utah, and I think New Mexico were the states affected. So there's a big cleanup that has to be done. And what I said yesterday, was that Advanced Medical Testing Centers is giving an excellent price for a provocative chelation challenge. $95. That's when they give you
a situation like the lead calcium situation, that lead may displace calcium in the bones. Is there a same situation with regard to mercury? Does mercury displace a nutrient mineral in the body?
Yes, and I think one of the ways you can, you know, short of doing chelation, but sort of protecting yourself, is making sure you're taking adequate amounts, or optimal amounts is a better word, of nutrient minerals. And we're talking about magnesium is probably one of the most important ones. Calcium at a lower level, because you get a lot of calcium in the food you eat, but mercury, we just see people deficient all the time. I mean, magnesium, we see people deficient all the time with that one. And then there are a lot of trace minerals that have to be addressed as well. So you want to make sure you're taking high levels of minerals. Now, I remember one of the seminars I attended, one of the products there that was used to naturally treat patients with cancer. Now, it's not my product, so I can say that. It was being promoted in that regard. And he had CAT scan evidence how it was curing people, let's say. So that, you know, there are other approaches, but I think mineral deficiencies are a major consideration for everybody.
Very important for people to understand that with regard to magnesium, you do not necessarily want magnesium oxide. You want the chelated forms of magnesium. So that would mean that the magnesium is bound to a number of different types of amino acids for more specific delivery to points in your body. We're almost out of time. Dr. Slavin?
Well, I just you want to give out those numbers again because we want to hear from you. The first number, this is the number. You can call to get something off your chest.
Okay.
Okay.
The hotline.
It's our hotline, 954-338-7313. 954-338-7313.
So is that hazardous duty if you are taking the messages off that number?
Well, what we'll do is we'll discuss them and answer them or address your concerns on the radio show. And, of course, again, the number for Advanced Medical Testing Centers, amtcenters.com. And that's 754-216-2332. So we hope you avail yourself. You know, they do all the tests, so you don't have to go and wait on those long lines at those unappealing drawing centers.
Okay, so it's comfortable, very pleasant, very timely, and beneficial experience rather than a stressful experience. So, Dr. Slavin, we've covered a lot of ground. We'll be back tomorrow here on WNN 1470 at 10 o'clock. And to all of our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.